from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs. This is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
And welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs. We are back for another preview edition as we get ready to open week one against the Chargers. Yesterday was the crossover show with the Locked On Chargers guys. Really enjoyed that. But Ryan is back with me again today. I'm Chris Clark. I am the managing editor of LockedOnChiefs.com and a senior analyst at Chiefs Digest.
You know, and we try to say hello. If you're somebody new to the show, we want to let you know who we are. And Seth's not with us today. He's a writer over the Athletic. If you follow him on Twitter, it's at Real Minnesota Chiefs Fan. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics and your host at RGR Football on YouTube. And this is one of those deals where scheduling has been kind of messed up this week. So I'm going to be here for Thursday. Seth's actually going to do the pregame show for Friday with Chris. And we're just kind of jumbling everything up. But this is really
confusing everybody in the process.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But this is one of those times where there's so much going on and it's time for football, like actual real football. I know you guys are excited. I got to tell you, I'm pretty pumped myself. It's about time.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to football starting and actually meaning something. Really curious, and the one downfall of this show might be that we're not going to be talking about what is said on Wednesday because we are recording this on Tuesday night. So just a heads up, anything that comes out on Wednesday will not be on this show for Thursday. I do apologize about that, but like we said, scheduling difficulties make that a little bit harder. But you will hear from Seth and I what comes out on Wednesday, which they're supposed to be talking about Eric Berry and his injury because Rick Burkholder is talking, I believe, on Wednesday. So hopefully we'll have an updated information on that for the game day show on Friday.
You know, and when Rick Burkholder talks, Chiefs Kingdom listens, as they should. I'm going to keep my fingers crossed. Folks, if you want to hear from me, I'll have something up on RGR Football, but Seth and Chris will wrap everything up that you're going to need to know for that game on Friday. But we do have some things to talk about.
I will say there is some good news, though.
Yeah.
Kansas City could have put him on IR.
Well, yeah, there's that. They had the opportunity. Dan Sorensen went there.
Yep. So if they thought he was going to be out long term, he would be on IR.
Yes. Although that's what they might have thought last year, too. I mean, well, folks, this is a question mark. Eric Berry is a question mark. I don't care what they've told you. This is the same progression that we saw last season when they said, hey, he's fine to play the opener. And you saw what happened in the opener. So, I mean, let's take everything with a grain of salt and let's keep an eye on how he's actually feeling. You know, it's one thing to follow the ball when you're watching the football game, but watch Eric Berry as well so that in between plays you see how he's moving around. When he has a chance to relax, see how he moves.
Well, and we could talk about a whole episode on how Eric Berry's health is going to affect this team, but there's other news that we need to discuss, and this was talked about in the news for Wednesday show. Cam Irving signed a big contract extension, or what appears to be possibly a big contract extension. I know a lot of people in Chiefs Kingdom are not very happy that they gave him the kind of money they gave him, but if you really look at what was said and what we know right now, as of Tuesday night, it's for 15.7 max. There's a bunch of incentives in there, and I would bet money that most of them are not likely to be earned incentives, which don't count against the cap until they're earned.
Right, and that's a good thing. I mean, because honestly, that should be, because what they have done is they have decided to move on from Parker Iger and to cut Brian Witzman, the guy who started for you last season. Because they feel like they have in Andrew Wiley and Cam Irving an upgrade. That's the only reason you let go of those two guys, because A, you have an investment in Iger, or you did. And yes, you got something back for that, and that's important. But you also have experience with Witzman. And here's where that all comes down to. That's putting faith in Cam Irving to do more for you than he's done to this point.
Well, And one of the things I found really interesting is I compared it to the contract that was given to Zach Fulton, and it was exactly half of the signing bonus that Fulton got.
Mm, that's significant.
So, well, I don't really know that it is. I mean, to me, $6.5 million may seem like a lot of money, but when you're considering that it's a signing bonus that's prorated over 3 years, it's only going to count less than $2.5 million per year for the next 3 years on the cap. I mean, that's not really that significant.
Well, but what I mean is that's significant that they noticed that their guy that they're trying to make be the jack of all trades, like Fulton was, they realize at least that they have to pay market value.
Yep.
But they also realize that he's not Zach Fulton yet. And he may be. I'm not saying he won't be. But at this point, he hasn't been that versatile. And he hasn't played up to, really, I think, the level that Zach Fulton played at.
Mm-hmm. And that's fair. I don't know that Zach Fulton is where he deserves to be with that money. But that's neither here nor there. We're not talking about him. The other interesting news that came out after Wednesday's pod was that Andrew Wiley is now your starting left guard.
Well, see, and that's the thing that really, really threw me for a loop. Because here's the thing. I like what Wiley did. And I'll even give you that he showed enough versatility to play on both sides of the line, because while LDT was out, he was on the right guard spot. No problem. But when he went in with the twos, he did move over to left tackle. So he can play from the left side. That's not really the problem. The problem is, for me anyway, is that you had Cam the whole time and you saw Wiley come on. And to just, after the preseason's over, after you can't get any more game reps before you actually have to play an opponent, a division opponent, by the way, you just switch him around. And at that point, that makes me a little bit nervous, because I would have liked to seen them get prepared more, because as we've talked about over the years, Eric Fisher has been tied really to his comfort level, or maybe not even comfort, his trust level with his guard. And I think that's really important for what they're going to see, when, especially when you're talking about edge rushers like Bosa and Ingram.
Yep. No, there's a lot of question marks in my mind when it comes to this move. I do not like the timing of it, and I really don't understand why they waited so long if they thought Wiley was going to be the guy. There is an argument to be made that they didn't realize Wiley could be that guy until he went and played right guard and did well in the preseason. But to me, to not give him that opportunity during the preseason at that position, and even here's the other side of it. If you think he has an opportunity to play left guard in the start of the season, you take him and you put him at left guard in game four and let him play left guard.
Yeah, don't put him at tackle. Let him try the left guard. Yeah.
The first half.
It's almost like the epiphany came down that, oh, we actually moved on from Inger. We got that trade done. And now we've picked up these two guys, Ryder and Boker. And I'm saying Boker, and folks, I have no idea if that's right. You know, I'm terrible at this. So just go with it.
At least he doesn't have to try to spell it.
Yeah, right. But if I mess that up, believe me, I'll get it corrected. But the point is they found two guys that they wanted off of waivers to go with what they had already accomplished in moving on from Minger. So I think that's really – that's the impetus. But it just makes me wonder, did you really upgrade over Witzman? Because I've been waiting for that, and I want to see that come true. And I'm going to put some faith in Wiley, because I like what he did at right guard. And honestly, I think if LDT's back, that helps quite a bit as well.
It's going to be interesting to watch. If Wiley is going to be your guy, great. I'll be happy with that. And moving on for Parker Iyengar is not a big deal at that point. Let's go ahead and take a quick break, and we will be right back.
You know, ever since we started this podcast, people are always asking us for advice. Usually, it's what team to bet on. And the truth is, we don't know who's going to win. But if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why we always tell people to bet with MyBookie. They are the best bet this season. We'd only recommend a service that our listeners can trust has been good to us. That's why we're urging you to check out MyBookie. You win and they pay. They have live in-game betting and the most rewarding player perks in the business just for you fantasy guys out there. You can even bet on the over-under on how many fantasy points a particular player will score each game. Join now and MyBookie will match every deposit dollar one for one. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim that bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. So while I got you, I'm going to take a stab at what I want to see, because there's a couple of things I'm sure you guys will talk about for the Friday show, but I'm in particular worried about the guards, or not even worried about the guards, focused on the guards, because what we saw last season from the Chargers is that they're a team that can be run on. And this is a game that I think running the ball is going to be effective, or has the potential to be anyway. And those guards are going to be important.
No, they are going to be important. It could be very good for Kansas City to be able to get the running game going, because at that point you take pressure off of Pat and the entire offense that is going to be under a lot of pressure this season to produce with a rookie QB that they're not used to right now. That's one thing about losing Alex Smith, is there is a lot, there is a big change there in just the way things are run. And I understand they have had all offseason to work on it, but that takes time to develop trust. And you can't just do that in one off season. So it's going to be something that when, you know, things start flying, you're going to see what the offense can really do.
Now, that's not the only thing to talk about. We got to flip over to the other side as well, because I think we're comfortable if they're healthy with Hitchens and Rags, right?
You'd think so.
And I think what the Chiefs have shown in moving on from Dave Amerson is that they're comfortable with Scandrick. They're going to ask him to do things that he can do. And maybe that to me tells me that maybe Bob's going to play some more cover two. Maybe he's going to play some more cover three where Scandrick can bail out of things a little bit earlier and play that fade technique out. I don't know, but I got to think this defense is going to look a little bit different from what we're used to. And maybe that's a good thing. You don't have the man personnel that you used to have with Peters in particular, and even Mitchell. At least he was a man guy. He wasn't very successful, but he was a man guy. But I think we have to be prepared for them to show more zone. Hopefully that doesn't mean Justin Houston. But the key, especially in this game, is going to be you got to get to Phillip Rivers, right?
Yeah, no, that is a big key. And the key in that regard is what can Justin Houston and D4 do? And to some extent, what is Xavier Williams going to do? Because we already know what Alan Bailey is going to do against the pass. It's not going to be a lot. Chris Jones can get after the passer, but, you know, what is their defense going to look like?
Yeah, that's the question too. And, you know, I think what I'm not going to mind is that if we see Xavier Williams come out kind of early, get a rest, let Nnadi play the run, because Melvin Gordon's a suspiciously good back. He hasn't been that successful against this team in the past, but it's not for a lack of talent. It's really been his blocking. And he's got those guards, and they're getting better, and they're getting healthier, and we'll see what they can do. But if you let Nnadi control the run on early downs and you let Williams come in, I want to see Williams and Jones rush out of that two-man set.
That could be something that would be very fun to watch. And you throw into that a Breland Speaks and a Tano Passanio and a Justin Houston and maybe even D Ford, and you figure out how to use those four edge rushers that you have in that package. And I'm not so sure, we haven't seen it in the preseason, but I'm not so sure that Dorian or Daniel isn't going to be a guy that they're going to be, that they are not going to be sending after the QB at times.
Yeah, I mean, Dorian's shown that he can do that. He did it a lot in college. He's got good close.
They call it click and close
for the corners. Yeah, exactly. He can play in space. He can play that nickel linebacker, especially with Sorensen out. He can do what Dan Sorensen did better, because he's more of a linebacker than Dan Sorensen is. And when we're talking about Ron being in the back, and I know everybody's up in arms about Ron, Ron's going to help this defense. You don't have to love it. You don't even have to like it. But he's going to help, and he's going to move Armani Watts and Eric Murray farther down the line without putting this team at risk of getting thrown over the top every other play, especially with a guy like Rivers. So I think really what – go ahead.
I was just going to say, the one thing I don't like about Ron is that I don't like the thought process of, hey, guess what? We just brought in this street free agent that's going to start for us week one and hasn't played any during the preseason. And yes, I know he knows the defense for the most part, but there are so many pieces that have changed.
But I have the total opposite. Look, I don't care. He's better than the guys they got.
No, he is.
That's the bottom line.
I'll give you that. I'm just saying, I don't like doing it this time of year. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I, Yeah, if I had my druthers, I wouldn't either. But they're in a situation now where Murray hasn't taken a step forward. Watts is still behind from his injury at camp. I think he's going to get there. I think he's going to be starting your safety by the last third of the season. But I'm just saying he buys you that time to let those guys continue to develop with game reps without costing you games. And I think that's important for this team that, you know, I still see this team as a playoff team. Might be a wild card, might be a 9-win team. But, you know, you let a couple of those slide games that you could have won because you didn't bring in a veteran like Parker, and that cost you a season or at least a playoff run.
Could. But one thing Kansas City has going for them is I'm pretty sure these Chargers have started slow the past couple of seasons.
No.
Yeah, and, you know, although I was really scared of them drafting Mike Williams, the fact that he wasn't able to play last year, and Keenan Allen has his injury history himself. Losing Hunter Henry is really going to hurt them. And yes, they brought back Gates. Yeah, but Gates is not what he used to be.
No,
that's he's better true. Than what they had, maybe.
Or again, yeah.
I mean, but you know, who's going? I mean, if Hunter Henry was there, they would have no reason to have Gates.
You're right,
and they don't have. But I mean, they have a two-team, you know, honestly, I don't think their wide receivers are that scary. Yes, Keenan Allen is fantastic. We don't know what Mike Williams is going to do as a pro. Nope. You know, the rest of their team, we'll see. Let's take another quick break, and we'll be right back. All right, so you've talked about Ron Parker. You've talked about your defense. Flip it over to the other side. What are you thinking we're going to see offensively this week?
Well, I hope that Andy is less concerned about progressing the passing offense just because he wants to progress the passing offense. Clearly, this defense is susceptible against the run. I want to see them pound the rock early and then let Pat do his thing. I want to kind of lull the Chargers into a little bit of a, oh, hey, they're going to really emphasize that ground thing, and they're going to let Tyreek slip behind them. I mean, I expect to see a long pass for a gain, if not a touchdown. But I think it has to come after the run.
That's fair. I think that, honestly, I'm not going to be surprised if he doesn't try to come and put the league on notice this week. And I'm not joking. I will not be surprised if Pat comes out throwing this first game. And yes, they need to do the run, and I completely agree with that. They definitely need to emphasize the run as much as they possibly can. But I'm not going to be shocked if they come out throwing, especially in the first
especially series. Right, and especially if the Chargers think, because they have some good players back there, that they think, hey, we don't have to worry about that much. We're talented too, and we're going to get up there and we're going to do our thing. We're not going to worry about his arm. Rutrow.
Well, and Anthony. Can't remember their coach's name. Yeah, Anthony Lynn said something on Tuesday about not knowing the Chiefs QB's name. You have to think he's joking about that, because how do you not know? I mean, as a head coach in the NFL, how do you not know every team starting QB?
Well, if that came from Vance Joseph, I'd probably believe it.
Well,
I'm pretty sure Anthony Lynn's sharper than that.
I would think so. But regardless, I think it's going to be a game where Kansas City is going to try. And honestly, I'm not so sure that they haven't played into this Sammy Watkins not having a good season, not having a good preseason thing. Yes, they tried to get him involved in, what, week two or week three a little bit. But you can't tell me that they don't have some plays specifically designed for him that nobody's seen yet.
Yeah, I got to think so. And honestly, I can understand if Sammy's been a little shell-shocked by the volume of this offense. I mean, he has commented a couple of times, to tell you the truth. But whether it's this week or a couple weeks in, it's going to click for him. He's going to get there.
Well, and
people, I think really having
– Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say, and having Tyreek across from him is what's going to help him get there.
Well, no, and I agree with that. But I will also say I don't think we've given him enough time or enough credit. I don't know of a wide receiver yet that's come into Reed's offense and just tore it up first year.
Right.
Especially not somebody that was given all of the plays, because Tyreek Hill was not given all of the plays his first season in the NFL.
And honestly, I don't think Deshaun was in Philly either.
Right. And I don't think Macklin was. they were given a specific skill or a specific position to learn, and then they got to a point where they could do all three. And I'm fine with that. Give Sammy time. Give him a chance to actually prove what he's worth. And like I said, I've said on numerous podcasts, I said it on yesterday's podcast, just because he doesn't have 1,000 yards or 10 touchdowns doesn't mean he didn't do what he was paid to do by Kansas City this year. If he can help open up Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and help Mahomes be successful because he gives him more open targets, you may not see the stats, but you're going to know whether or not Sammy's effective.
Sneaky prediction. I think Chris Conley actually puts up some numbers.
Good. And that's another thing. They didn't do anything with Conley in this offseason.
Nope, but he looked decent in that last game with, what was it, Henny throwing to him? And I think with all the attention, even on Sammy, it's going to be there. And Kelce and Tyreek, I think really it leaves Chris Conley in a position where he can probably get the best matchup of them all.
Well, and what
despite.
What have I always said about Conley? I said he never
fit. He's the QB, man.
Yeah, I said he never fit Alex Smith's style. I still don't think he ever would.
I agree.
So I think you're right. I think he has a great opportunity, especially considering they don't have their number two tight end going into this week.
Right. Well, and here's the thing on San Diego's defense. What is it? It's Desmond King, right? Is their nickel guy. So, I mean, he's like 5'2". He's a little dude.
He's just a little bit taller than you, huh?
Yeah, right. He's like Cyrus Jones size. But yeah, I mean, that's a clear, distinct advantage in terms of what Chris can do with his body, and we've seen him do it when he needs to. I hesitate to use the possession receiver thing with him because I have seen people throw that out, and he can do that. But he's steady, and he can use his body as a shield, and he plays that fairly well. And against smaller DB like that, I think he's going to have opportunities because of the velocity of the ball is coming to him.
Well, and if Pat's throw to Kelce in the preseason is any indication, I think he's got timing with the receivers that have been around in Kansas City. His out route pass to Kelce where he hit him and the ball was within 3 yards of Kelce when Kelce turned around. I mean, that – say what you want. That's a throw very few QBs make.
That's true.
That was one of the best throws I've seen Pat make, and that's including the 70-yard throw. The anticipation of it in the placement and everything. I mean, you can't defend that.
And we're going to see that again. He's probably going to make a mistake. I think he throws a pick. But I think you're going to see more of that precision stuff and only see the really deep stuff if they cheat up and they ignore what they've seen on film.
Please do.
Welcome to Los Angeles.
It'll be a lot of fun.
Right that time.
It'll be a lot of fun to talk about. And fans can hear from me in my excitement after the game.
Yeah, and I'll be back here for postgame, folks. Listen to Chris and Seth for the pregame show. I'll be with you postgame. Check out RGR, remember that. And all of our stuff is going up on Matt Derrick's site on Chiefs Digest. So make sure you give that a check, too. Reagan's going to have some great stuff Charger-wise on there. And if you haven't seen Reagan's work yet, you're going to love it. If you like what Seth does, it's a scouting perspective. It's a little bit different than just the film review. It's really coming together, and we're going to give you a lot of different angles on pretty much everything all season. So please check out Chiefs Digest. Make sure you're telling your friends. If you're tailgating, play this podcast for them, will you? I would really appreciate that. We're looking forward to talking to you, and we will talk to you then.
And good luck in your fantasy leagues this weekend.
Knock them dead.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.